Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the podcast about everything that's going on at the Historic Entertainment Amphitheater, located in Independence Township, Michigan, just north of Detroit. I'm your host, Gary Graff. It's officially fall, but things are not falling off at Pine Knob as it heads to the close of its 53rd year. There's still plenty of music to be heard out there before we put a wrap on the season. We'll start this episode again with our regular Pine Knob photo feature. This time we chat with Sue Plummer, a veteran metro area photographer who actually attended Pine Knob's very first concert with David Cassidy back in 1972. Sue has taken her camera to dozens of shows at Pine Knob since then, and from all of those, she's chosen a photo from one of the Jay Giles Band's many appearances at the venue.
One of my favorite photos I shot at Pine Knob is from a Jay Giles reunion show in 2010. It was sold out, as always, when they played Pine Knob, and everyone was excited. The vibe was like off the charts. Anyway, I made my way down to the photo pit, and soon after the band walked out on stage to a big roar, and shortly after that, Peter appeared flying out across the stage, moving and grooving nonstop. So the gig was on, sometimes challenging. I was trying not to sing and dance under my camera. I kept up, and I ended up with several good photos from that show, actually. But it was difficult to choose, but this one that I've got here is a fave because it just fits the evening's vibe with the smoky stage and Peter dancing, Magic Dick on harmonica, and Jay Giles himself with background in the background, I should say, Hayes playing guitar. And really, anytime I look at this shot, it instantly takes me back to one of the best times at Pine Knob. And all I can say was it was nothing but a house party.
That's Sue Plummer with her favorite Pine Knob photo in this episode's photo feature. Sue's photo of the Jay Giles Band can be found via the 313presents.com website. On to the upcoming shows at Pine Knob, and we'll start there with the B-52s bringing its 12-date Cosmic De-Evolution Tour with Devo to town on Thursday, September 25th. Lena Lovitch, who was born in Detroit, will also be on the bill. We spoke with the B-52s' Cindy Wilson about the tour, which she says feels like a bit of an old home week for her and her bandmates.
They're, you know, from the time that we came out, you know, and we've played with both bands, and I can't believe we get to do this. You know, we played in New York last February with Devo on that Saturday Night Live music extravaganza they had, which was it was amazing how they got all these bands, you know, how they organized it. And we got to see Devo after a long time. And of course, I was always a girl fan, just crazy about Devo, and so it was extremely exciting for me. And when I heard that we were gonna do this tour, it was so amazing. I'm so happy. And then Lenny Lovitch, you know. My lucky number is one. I mean, it was one of my favorite, you know, 45s, and it was just wonderful. I can't wait to see her again, you know. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Bringing the tour to Pine Knob will be special for the B-52s, too. The group has played there 8 times before, including a sold-out July 16, 1983 stop that was at the time the biggest headlining concert the band had ever played.
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Detroit was always a good music town. We always looked forward to coming. It was always a great crowd.
The B-52s have been around nearly 50 years, logging hits such as Rock Lobster, Planet Claire, Love Shack, and Rome. The sound has always been idiosyncratic and unique, and Cindy Wilson tells us that the group, which formed in Athens, Georgia, has always been about being different than the rock and roll norm.
Well, Actually, it was, yeah, it felt like doing art. It felt like we were, you know, doing a big collage, you know, and just, you know, just having fun with it. And we didn't know that we would be successful at all. In fact, it was purely just in Athens, just to have fun and to and just bring these ideas together and be outrageous. And it definitely was in the air, you know, that kind of energy. It was contagious, and it was amazing how it was. We just kind of rolled through, and the next thing we knew, we were signing with Warner Brothers, and our career, like, we're still going at it. It's just amazing. I think there's always, even people that don't quite get us can respect that we are original, and it's a good time. It really is.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We asked Cindy if, after all these years, she has a favorite B-52 song to perform.
Oh, you know, it changes. You know, it really does change. And every night, it depends on just the mood. It really does. I like, you know, I still like doing Give Me Back My Man. And, you know, that's fun. And I like the kookier songs the better, you know, like Modine and you know, subjects like UFOs and just everything. It's like a goofy poetry, you know. It's really and all these different harmonies, and it's just fun to dance to too. It's hard to, you know, to say no to that.
This will be the B-52's first performance in the metro area since 2019. And in 2022, the group began what it called a final farewell tour. And yet they're still here. What's up with that, Cindy?
It's hard to quit. It really didn't. It felt like it was the goodbye tour. But I think it's starting to be more of a season, a goodbye season, than it is an ultimate goodbye, you know. But you know, this is the season, you know, so I don't know how much longer we'll be doing it. We could be doing it next year too. So
what's keeping the B-52s going at this point?
I think it's we enjoy the emotion of it, and being in with the audience and with each other, and creating this kind of, you know, it's kind of our energy, our magic. It's just a lot of fun. You're hooked on it. I think it's like an addiction. Music is just it's such a release for us to get up there and like dance this mess around and do the classics. You know, you have to go into it, like, not like you've sang the song 100 times, but like you've, you got to be in the moment, like it's the first time. Just feel the, what's, you know, that night, you know, it's really important to do that.
Like Wilson and the B-52s, Devo is looking forward to being on the road together, thanks, according to the group's Mark Mothersbaugh, to the shared history between the acts.
I've only seen Lena once perform, and that was at the Whiskey A Go-Go back in, I'm think that it was like somewhere around 79 or 80, somewhere like that. And she sounded great, you know, and I knew her music because, you know, that was our time period. And then B-52s came a little bit after. And I loved Rock Lobster, and I liked their sense of humor, and I liked their aesthetic. I liked the way they made their songs, where it had kind of like this, like a Star Trek-y kind of thing going on, you know, with catchy pop. And you know, it's different than us. You know, they're much more of a dance band and a party band. And but I think that makes us complementary to each other. I think, you know, you'll get a little bit of two different things, you know, on these shows. You know, it'll be like chocolate and peanut butter.
Devo, which performed back in June of this year at the Fillmore Detroit, has only performed at Pine Knob once before, during its stint on the Lollapalooza tour back in 1997. Mother's Boss says that he has mostly good memories about that experience.
We liked festivals, you know. I like that format, because I get to go out and hear, you know, other bands, which is, you know, if you're touring, you don't always get to hear other bands. And when I'm not touring, I'm scoring films and TV shows, because that's my love. I like, you know, getting to catch up on what's happening out there. It wasn't the first of those big touring BMS that went out and around, but it was early on, and I think it was kind of cool. I mean, if I was a kid and I had the energy to hang out at a stadium or a field all day, I'd go do it just to see a lot of live music all at one time.
Since last year, Devo has been celebrating the band's history with its 50 years of de-evolution tour, playing everywhere from NPR's Tiny Desk concerts to, as we mentioned, the Fillmore Detroit, and recently, Chicago's Soldier Field with My Chemical Romance. Mother's Boss says he's been particularly pleased to see younger fans turning out for these shows.
It's impressive, you know, like to play places where you see, like, three generations of humans out in the audience, because they've used the internet to find out, well, who does my band, who influenced my band? Oh, it was Nirvana. Who influenced Nirvana? Oh, it was Devo. And so then they go back and they check things out. And then, you know, it's like we played at Soldier's Field a couple of weeks ago, and there were young kids that were all singing the songs. And I'm like, how in the heck do they know them? That's amazing, you know?
Mother's Boss feels that the turnout proves how relevant Devo's music has remained, even though, like the B-52s, it was felt to be quirky and very unusual when it was first released during the late 70s and early 80s.
I think when we wrote them, we really thought so. And I think, you know, it's like when albums came out and they weren't getting on the radio, it kind of was, you know, it made us nervous and look for other ways to deal with that. And because our goal wasn't to be just weirdo outsiders. We weren't trying to be like another Captain Beefheart, although we loved him and he influenced us greatly. You know, we weren't trying to be another Residents, who I also really always felt a kindred spirit with. We wanted to hear our music in the mainstream and hear it, you know, like, you know, be influencing people. And I mean, you know, we've had a modicum of success, but now, you know, like, I don't know how many years later it is now, 40 some years later, it's like, Uncontrollable Urge is probably the song that's played the most on MTV of any song and you know, ever and all time, just because of this one crazy kind of devolved show.
Something that's always kept fans intrigued and puzzled about Devo is its concept of de-evolution, a social and political manifesto related to the world and society. Mother's Boss, for one, thinks the message resonates more now than it perhaps did back in the day.
I think that's a definite yes, because nobody was interested, really. Very few people were interested in what our message was. You know, as a matter of fact, we kind of were. By the time we were doing albums, we were already kind of submersing it into the into the album and into the artwork so that it would be something that it wasn't like hitting you in the face, or we weren't beating a pulpit or something, you know, like talking about devolution, you know, everything's falling apart. But now it's like people are looking for answers, and they're questioning why we are where we are in the world. And de-evolution seems like a possible, you know, answer to that. I was the optimist in the band. So I was Woogie Boy, and I was the one who thought, yeah, we're going to figure it out. We're going to, but you know, it's like, it's kind of following history a little too closely. It's like, it looks too much like the fall of the Roman Empire, you know, and the changeover in Russia, you know, and it, from a historical standpoint, it looks like maybe it's inevitable. And I'm hoping not. I feel like the first 50 years of Devo, we were just trying to warn people about humans being the one species out of touch with nature. But I think the next 50 years, we're going to talk about mutating, don't stagnate, you know, like, and you do creative mutations so that you can move forward, and wherever we're going as a planet and as a species, you know, I think the things we'll need to be aware of is, unless we all just want to move to Mars, which looks like a pretty bleak place to live to me, but you know, I'd say we take care of planet Earth a little better, you know, just be a little nicer to the other species here, you know.
Devo's last album, Something for Everybody, came out during 2010, and there have been a couple of singles during the interim. Of the prospects for some more new music, Mother's Boss says,
hey, you know what? Never say never. You know, it's like, I think we kind of all thought we had hung up our energy domes, you know, for good, you know, like about 10 or 15 years ago. And then we did another record, and it had some good music on it. And we still put one of the songs from that album on our current list of songs we like to play. So you never know. It could happen.
That's the Cosmic De-Evolution Tour with the B-52s, Devo, and Lena Lovitch on Thursday, September 25th at Pine Knob. The next night, Friday, September 26th, country star Lainey Wilson brings her Whirlwind Tour to Pine Knob for her first performance ever at the venue. It will also be the first performance there for one of her band members, multi-instrumentalist Sav Madigan, who's also part of The Accidentals, a band she and longtime friend Katie Larson formed 13 years ago in Traverse City. Sav, who now calls Nashville home, tells us that the Pine Knob show has been circled on her calendar.
The moment I saw that this got booked, I was like, I started calling it a hometown show. Like, it feels like a hometown show for me in particular, just because I feel like I'm going to know so many people who are coming. Like, I've already had tons of friends and family say that they're going to be there. And it just, like, I think the last time we played Michigan, we played Faster Horses Festival, like, with the Lainey crew. That was my first and only Michigan show with them. So we have not played either of these venues, Van Andel or Pine Knob, we've not played these areas since. And I'm excited to, like, come home and basically play a venue that I have seen so many iconic people come through. I'm excited. It's like, it hasn't lost its charm for me that we're doing this, even though I've played a bunch of big shows. It's more like, oh, this is really special because I have memories associated with these places. Like, I grew up talking about these places. So to play them is sort of like, oh, this is like another level of my career that I can think about and talk about when years go by, you know, no matter where I go.
Sav's own experience with Pine Knob began back in 2015.
I actually was at Pine Knob when I was 16. I watched the Foo Fighters play. That's the last time I was at Pine Knob. And I had a great time. I went with my dad. We knew every song. It was such a great time. But I'd never been to the venue before. And I remember that outdoor arena thing has quickly become like one of my favorite things. But at the time, it was just like the excitement of it all was really what I remember taking away from the experience. Like, it just felt like a big community, like, hang in this like massive venue, like the biggest venue I'd ever been in at that point. So yeah, it's really special to be playing there now. Can't even wrap my head around it.
Sam's membership in Lainey Wilson's band, meanwhile, also has Michigan connections.
I got this gig very, very indirectly from playing a studio session for Joe Hertler and the Rainbow Seekers. No joke, I played like strings on one of their records, and I gave my business card to the engineer on the session. And for like 5 years, I didn't hear anything from this engineer, and then he texted me an opportunity to be a utility player for a major artist. And so now we're here. So like, it feels like very full circle all the time. These Michigan roots always come back and support what I'm doing. And yeah, it just feels really cool to come back home.
And while working with Wilson keeps her busy, Sav and the Accidentals are still fully active. The trio recently released the third album in its Time Out series of songwriting collaborations and is planning a holiday album as well as an accompanying tour later this year.
You know what's really nice is like the three of us are all side artists for different people. So Kate plays for Brett Young. Caitlin plays for Joanne Shaw Taylor full-time right now. She's actually in Alaska at this time. And then I'm playing for Lainey. So it's nice to record, to have time to record, to get together and play the shows that, you know, matter a lot to us. And we just have time and bandwidth for all of it. I think that's like our definition of success always has been, is to have time for the projects that matter to us and, you know, to continue to do stuff that like isn't super orthodox, but is exactly on brand for the Accidentals.
That's Michigan's own Sav Madigan, who will be part of Lainey Wilson's band when it plays at Pine Knob on Friday, September 26th. Recently visiting town was the British band James, who also played at Pine Knob as part of the 1997 Lollapalooza Festival. James frontman Tim Booth recalled for us what a crazy experience it was for his band to be part of that tour.
It was quite a tipping point for us. I had ruptured two discs in my neck. We named an album Whiplash, and on the fourth gig in, I gave myself whiplash and was in a neck brace for 2.5 years in considerable pain. Lollapalooza, we couldn't cancel because we cancelled one tour, and if you cancel two, the insurance companies won't book you, won't hold you again. So we had to do Lollapalooza, and I was in a considerable pain. We were opening for Korn, Tool, Snoop Dogg. Their audiences didn't exactly take to a melodic English band. Screaming abuse from, you know, 20,000 people in those auditoriums. And so after the third gig, I went out and found these mirrorable pastel matching shirts and mini dresses. And we thought, well, if we're going to be this to them, let's stir them up. And we go on in these little, really quaint little outfits that would stir up the hornet's nest. And we would then deal with it in a very entertaining way. And then finally, after a few weeks, I found myself singing in the audience and going up to the most hostile men I could find in a kind of cowboy. I had a cowboy hat and a neck brace and the pastel pink shirt, mirrorball shirt, and I'd sing to them and nobody hit me. And when you sing to them, they would calm down. The first guy I did it to asked me for a hug, and it was really liberating. And after that tour, Korn said, oh, we watched you every day, and would you come on tour with us as our support band across America? We said, thanks, but no, we're done now, thank you. It was kind of like, it was awful, and it grew us as well in a certain kind of way.
The Pine Knob stop was no different than those other shows, Booth recalls.
It was pretty aggressive in most of the venues because we were on before Korn, and they were always heckling us, their audience, and screaming abuse, screaming in gangs. And like I bumped into a James fan who was at that gig, and he said he got up to defend us, and he ended up in hospital for 2 weeks with broken bones. You know, those gigs were pretty difficult for us.
Booth was also quick to note that his band's behavior on the tour certainly fit in with the wildness associated with Lollapalooza.
I think the band hit their biggest partying time on that tour, so much so that the security, with all those bands present, thought that James were the one that you had to watch, that they were the ones who stole the golf buggies and drove them down the staircases and crashed them in the stairs. And, you know, they were the disruptive band amongst Korn and Prodigy and Snoop Dogg and all those other bands.
That's Tim Booth of the band James, remembering the British band's turn on the Lollapalooza tour during 1997 and its stop at Pine Knob. And that's it for this episode of Hello Pine Knob. Hello Pine Knob is produced by Ryan Anderson for Odyssey and is available wherever you get your podcasts or through the 313 Presents website. 313presents.com also has all the information you need about concerts coming to Pine Knob, as well as other venues around the metro area. We'll be back soon with our 10th and final episode of the 2025 season. I'm Gary Graff. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out on the Hill.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.